All rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Chief Judge Bruce Castle presiding. All who have business before this court, draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this court. You may be seated.
Thank you. Before we begin, I'd just like to recognize that I think this is the last hearing oral argument that Mr. Herring, our clerk of the court, will participate in. And I understand there's been about 200 of these over a 10-year period. In addition, I know over the last year, he's implemented a program to work with counsel to advise them about working with the judges as they present oral argument, et cetera. And I know we're going to have a retirement luncheon tomorrow, but I'd like to publicly hear acknowledge his service and thank him for his service over the last 10 years, and wish you the best in your retirement and the new home and so forth. I won't go into details. So you're here.
Thank you.
Anybody? Yeah. Good morning. I'm Chief Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Davis. To my left is Judge Sholin. We're here today in the matter of Willie E. Tatum, has a docket number of 083782. Would counsel for the parties please note your appearance for the record?
Sandra Booth.
Thank you.
Mark Pidgeon, appearing for the Secretary. I'm accompanied today by Senior Appellate Attorney Richard Davey.
Thank you. Are both parties ready to proceed? And each party will have 30 minutes to present argument. Ms. Booth, do you wish to reserve a portion of your time for rebuttal?
10 minutes, please.
You have it, and you may proceed.
Thank you.
As you proceed, I'd just like to kind of frame this if I can. It appears to me that you have two arguments. Primarily, you're focused on whether or not a rating and benefits could be reduced without giving notice under 3105E, but there's also the other provision on whether or not it could be reduced shorter before the medical exam could be given. If you could frame it in those two areas, I'd appreciate it.
Certainly, Your Honor. Mr. Tatum, of course, is service-connected for prostate cancer, and the initial rating was 100% for 2 months, 0%, and then reinstated to 10%. There is nothing about that procedure that complies with the schedule of ratings, in particular DC-7528. The Secretary, of course, has defended on the basis of the staged rating procedure and states that that is an appropriate alternate way to rate a prostate cancer.
Well, let me just jump to the gun here. On 7528, any change in evaluation based upon that or any subsequent examination, it's referring to the examination after the six-month period, shall be subject to the provisions of 3105A. And your argument is they didn't comply with 3105A.
My argument is that before you get to that they did not wait the 6 months. Mr. Tatum was entitled to a rating of 100% for 6 months. The examination could not occur until the expiration of that six-month period. At that point, based on that evaluation, if a rating reduction is warranted, a change in evaluation, as the phrase in the diagnostic code, was warranted, then the secretary had to comply with 3.105.
And he had the examination in August?
He had the examination in August.
Okay, so you're saying that after the examination in August, he should have been given this notice under 3105E?
The examination in August actually was within that initial six-month period. So the examination was early. He should have had the examination later.
Okay, we'll come back to the examination if we can. I'm confused on 3105E, though, because it looks to me like the specific wording in 3105E says it doesn't apply. It only applies when it would result in a reduction or discontinuance of compensation payments currently being made. Mm-hmm. We can talk about all these cases out here, but why don't we just look at the wording of this regulation. Mm-hmm. Was your client receiving any payments?
At the moment the rating decision was issued, he was entitled to receive at the 100% rating.
Okay, but was he current? Were any payments currently being made?
Not at that time. That
okay,
was
then what
the
part
initial
of this regulation here, how does it apply? If it specifically says notice is only to be given, only required when the payments are currently being made. Which is about 4 lines, 5 lines down.
The Secretary's, the Federal Register, the comments in the Federal Register, which are quoted at page 8 of the principal brief, shows that the Secretary clearly intends the total rating is going to be assigned first, and then the reduction will be made later.
And that was in the context of arguments of being reduced from 1 year down to 6 months, and an argument being made that it looks like it automatically has to stop at 6 months. Mm-hmm. And the Secretary came back in there and said, no, it doesn't, because you have to have a medical examination, and then it has to comply with 3105E. And certainly if your client had been receiving payments, 3105E would say, you need this notice. Mm-hmm. But you're in a situation, and it could have been he was receiving it, and here he wasn't. So how does 3105E come into play?
Under 3.105, or rather under the diagnostic code, the VA did not have any authority to make the reduction until he first was rated at 100% and that six-month period had expired. What the rating decision itself did was move two processes into one by assigning a 100% for 2 months. It should have been 100% for 6 months, and then immediately assigning the reduction.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question. Let's
sure.
say in the case, Mr. Tatum, instead of it being within a few months of him filing his claim that he was awarded benefits, that it was 10 years from the date that he had filed his claim mm-hmm. until service connection was granted. Mm-hmm. Would it be appropriate in that instance for him to receive 100% for the entire 10-year period, and then an exam would be conducted, and then he could potentially be reduced?
It would be appropriate, and in fact, I think mandatory, that he be granted the 100% until that rating decision is issued.
So the entire 10-year period?
Correct.
Okay.
And certainly the Secretary can change that if he wishes, but that to me is how the diagnostic code in conjunction with 3.105E would operate. Now, conversely, take a veteran perhaps who, say Mr. Tatum had filed his claim 10 years after he had prostate cancer. This will likely never be implicated in that case because 10 years after he's had prostate cancer, he probably will not be entitled to a 100% rating. And this procedure is only triggered with respect to veterans who qualify for that initial 100% rating. It is what the Federal Register, the Secretary describes in the Federal Register as a convalescent rating, distinguishable, of course, from 4.30, which is a temporary convalescence rating. But this is a convalescent rating, which the Secretary has assigned to about 25 different disabilities, all of which are quite severe, potentially life-threatening. And
So the way you read it is if the claimant were to file his initial claim up to 1 day prior to the end of the convalescent period, he would be covered by this particular diagnostic?
Well, so long as he's filing the claim at a time when he is entitled to the 100% rating, which requires a malignancy and suggests that that also includes
some period following that.
Continuing for, I think, six months after cessation of treatment.
Right.
Yes, and that would be consistent with, again, the Secretary's comments in the Federal Register, which indicates that he revised the wording of the note to ensure that it cannot be misinterpreted as requiring a reduction 6 months after treatment is terminated, but rather that that's the moment that the Secretary then must do the examination. The examination, if that supports a change in the evaluation, which is necessarily going to be a reduction since he's already at 100%, must be implemented after compliance with 3.105E's notice.
How do you reconcile your reading of how this diagnostic code should be applied in response to my hypothetical of it would go back 10 years to the line of cases like Reisenstein and O'Connell that all recognized that there was some fear of a veteran receiving benefits for a period longer than they were potentially eligible for, and that there was no reliance upon those benefits in a stage rating context.
This is not the Secretary's intention in the convalescent ratings, of which prostate cancer is an issue in this case, is not to it's distinguishable from the line of cases you just cited, Your Honor, because those cases, of course, were concerned about a veteran who addressed the situation of a veteran who had not yet enjoyed his rating and had not come to rely on it. And it takes into consideration the purpose of the staged ratings policy, which is to account for those kind of delays and fluctuations in the veteran's condition during that time. This case has, those cases did not have a specific regulation requiring the notice. All of those cases construed the notice provision itself, 3.105E and the 3.44, 3.43, which offers different kinds of protections, and found they don't apply to a staged rating in a staged rating context because the veteran hasn't come to rely on them. In this particular case, there is no option or no discretion for the Secretary to decline to apply 3.105E's protections because
it's
directed to
Looping back around to Chief Judge Castle's question of if, let's say you do apply 3.105, then you look to 3.105, mm-hmm. and the very language of 3.105 seems to self-limit itself to awards currently being paid. And that sounds like the same kind of limitation as in those O'Connell and Reisenstein type cases.
Well, except that DC 7528 directs that 3.105E will be applied. There was no similar diagnostic code or other express regulatory provision.
Right, I appreciate that. But what I'm saying is, okay, let's say you go to apply 3.105 and then you look at the language in 3.105 and it says, we give notice except in these circumstances. You're still potentially applying the regulation. You're just not affording the full notice that might be applicable in other circumstances.
I think that would be a case of DC 7528 or any convalescent rating requiring something on one hand and then taking it away on the other by the reading of 3.105E that you're discussing in your hypo. If there is no point to having that language in the convalescent ratings provisions if 3.105E's language is going to then immediately...
But it's not always ruled out. I mean, someone could be receiving compensation, and therefore, at the time they get their examination, which indicates that it should be reduced, mm-hmm. they get the 2 months' notice. In this situation, your client was not receiving. He had submitted his claim. It's being processed in the VA world, not unreasonably slow, and they look at an examination, and we'll get back to the issue on if it was 6 months after or not.
Yeah.
And he's not receiving any compensation, so they turn to 3105E, and you don't get a notice.
Well, again, though, that's not the point of the convalescent rating or the point
But you do agree 3105E could apply in certain situations, so it's not a situation like you're presenting or suggesting that it's ridiculous to cite to it and then not have it apply.
Well, I wouldn't give up on that point, Your Honor, at all. 1 of the basic canons of interpretation is that where the Secretary, where Congress, and this is, of course, applicable to interpretation of other legal documents, where Congress makes a specific provision in one, has specific language in one provision of the law, omits that language, or provides to the contrary in a different provision, it's presumed that Congress intended that result, that was purposeful. Now, compare the convalescent ratings under the scheduler ratings, which again is limited to these 25 disabilities, including prostate cancer. Compare that to the convalescent rating at 4.30. 4.30 specifically excludes application of 3.105E. the convalescent ratings under the schedule specifically included. It's very difficult for me to see how one could have concluded that the Secretary really didn't mean that, when that's precisely what his language is. It's quite...
Well, maybe he meant to refer to 3105E. When you go to 3105E, it then specifically applies to when payments are currently being made, leaving that applicable in those situations. And when you go to 3105E in the situation that your client is in, we don't give that notice. Why is that unreasonable?
Yes, I think it is, because that places two veterans similarly situated, one who gets a rating decision that only grants the total, and one who under identical circumstances gets the rating decision and a reduction all in one. They're treated disparately, and
they are in different situations. One is receiving compensation, has come to rely on it, as has been cited in other cases, and the other is not.
Well, within a six-month period, I would suggest that he has not come to rely on it, that the cases that talk about veterans who have come to rely on their compensation and therefore need these additional protections, I've talked about a much longer time period, I think.
I don't think it's actually only limited to 6 months. That's the convalescent rating part. But prior to that, he's receiving the 100% for active treatment for the cancer.
Well,
so it could be, you know, several years plus 6 months.
It could be.
Yeah.
It could be, certainly.
Counsel,
certainly.
What is the impact of your approach to any initial rating decision that contains stage rating provisions, reductions, if you will, mm-hmm. and the application of 7528?
The staged rating, in my view, does not apply to the initial DC-7528 rating, so long as it is a 100% rating. If the initial rating, and this is kind of what I was discussing with Judge Sullivan earlier, say the veteran files a claim many years after he's been treated for prostate cancer and he no longer has a malignancy and is no longer being treated, he's not going to get the 100% rating. He's going to be under DC-7528, he'll be rated on his residuals, whatever that rating might be. It's not going to be subject to 3.105.
I just want to clarify. I'm a little confused. Let's say he had an operation and 5 years later applied for benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Can he get any benefits related to that operation or this code? You can't get before the date you file, can you?
No, but he may still have residuals. He may have voiding residuals.
True, but the six-month period and those other things.
That would not apply unless...
Because of the date.
Right, because he doesn't have the malignancy, he doesn't get the 100% rating under DC-7528, and that particular diagnostic code is the one that triggers the protections we've been talking about. If he's rated under voiding residuals or some other residual, it's not going to have those protections.
So assuming we follow your line of reasoning and say that the diagnostic code requires 3.105E notice to be given, and it wasn't given, what is the remedy here? To find it void ab initio, as in your supplemental authority notification in McClem, or is it to remand it for the VA to determine when the end of his convalescent period?
I believe that it is void ab initio, Your Honor, and that because there, once it's void ab initio due to noncompliance, there's nothing that's triggered termination of that 100% rating. So if the board's decision is set aside, the case reverts to where it was. VA is free to commence that notice, give the veteran his examination, commence the notice procedure and re-rate him, but there's nothing about his exam or about his 100% rating that terminated. There's nothing that caused it to terminate it. Still has it until VA legally and lawfully terminates it.
Is his current condition, or is there any evidence showing that his disability continues to be at the 100% level?
There is. No current, I think the last examination was in 2006, and at that time, it would certainly suggest to me that it was not at the 100% level. And I would guess at this point, since he has survived for 8 or 10 years, that it probably does not have a malignancy, but there's no evidence of that.
So how does the court distinguish between a circumstance where there might be no prejudice versus one where the error is so egregious that we have to find the determination void ab initio?
Well, the prejudice, I think, is the same as discussed in McClem, that the action of the secretary in reducing the rating without first complying with the requirements of law is itself prejudicial. Additionally, in Mr. Tatum's case, he was reduced after only 2 months, so there's still another 4 months, and what, as the secretary states in the Federal Register comments, as a practical matter, there's a total of 8 months that a veteran's going to have the total rating if one takes into consideration the additional 2 months required to comply with 3.105E notice. So the veteran has yet to get the examination at the expiration of his six-month period, and it's on that basis that the rating forward must be made.
Can we carry on that? Why do you say the examination was not 6 months? Yeah, 6 months after.
The claim was filed in February of 2002.
Correct.
There is no evidence as to when treatment ceased. We know that he had two or three surgical procedures at the end of 2001. He had another surgical procedure at the end of 2002. But there is no evidence about what his treatment was immediately after his prostate surgery. And consequently, there's no evidence.
Well, is there any evidence that he had any? I mean, there's a record.
There's no evidence one way or the other.
Well, there's an exam in August.
That exam does not address, that exam did not have the medical records. It states so at the top of the exam. And additionally, VA was not the treatment provider. The veteran had disclosed that he was treated by a private hospital and disclosed the name of the hospital and the doctor. Those records were not requested. And again, part of going back to the issue of prejudice, that also contributes to the prejudice to Mr. Tatum, because by treating this as an increased rating claim, VA has shifted the burden of proof essentially to him to prove that he was entitled to a higher rating. Where the issue is an unlawful reduction, the burden's on VA to prove that it complied. There is no, so VA had to get some kind of evidence to show that his treatment had ceased before it could even do the examination.
So in the record, what was the last surgery?
Last surgery was a December 2002 surgery.
What was that for?
That was for urine retention problems.
So it was not for malignant?
It was not specifically
all
for.
All right, so if I look at 7528, the note, mm-hmm. when it says following the cessation of surgical, we'll go on to each of them. And would you add 5 minutes, please? The last surgery we had for the malignant neoplasm was in the end of 01?
Yes.
Okay. When was the last x-ray that the record reflects? Same time period?
Yes. Same time
period. When was the last antineoplastic chemotherapy?
We don't know.
We don't have. Do you have any?
We don't know if he...
Your client doesn't know?
There's nothing in the record.
Nothing in the record.
Correct.
When was the last therapeutic procedure?
Nothing in the record.
Nothing in the record. Okay. All right. If you have an examination that met the six-month requirement, I assume it's your position, what you were talking with my colleague, that you could not reduce it before that examination was given and the additional 2 months.
Correct.
So let's just assume 3105E doesn't apply here, because I want to ask this next question.
Okay.
If you had the examination, could you reduce it prior to that date of the examination if the examination supported it? Example, you have the last surgery in December. 6 months, 8 months goes by. You have an exam in August. The exam supports that your client was better in February. I'm not saying this record does. This is just for discussion. Mm-hmm. Supports that your client was better in February. Could they then terminate or reduce the 100% rating to a 0% rating, if that was substantiated by the record, or is the only date that they could reduce it the date of the exam?
The only date they could reduce it would be the date of the exam.
So even if the exam had evidence that demonstrated that your client was outrunning marathons?
Correct. The secretary has...
So if the secretary is burdened and can't give an exam within a 9-month or a 1-year or a 2-year period, and the exam demonstrates that your client was better 3 or 4 months after the operation, they still couldn't reduce it until the day of the exam?
The DC 7528 says that the 100% rating shall continue.
Keep reading. What does it say after that?
With a mandatory VA exam at the expiration
of
6 months.
All it says is it will continue with an exam, and then any reduction must be based on the exam. So why couldn't the exam support a reduction earlier than the date of the exam? As long as it was after the 6 months.
I'm sorry. I think I misunderstood your question to start with. I would agree that if you take out 3.105E,
that was the premise.
Take that off the table. The exam is given after 6 months.
The exam is given on the 8th month. Could that exam support a reduction at the 6-month period if the facts were there?
Yes.
It's not just tied to the date of the exam. It's tied to the facts surrounding that.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree with that because that would be, applying a staged rating overlay at that point once you get past the 6 month.
Then you look at the facts and see what they are. Okay. You have a minute and 45 given the extra time and money. Do you have questions? Then you lost it. But you can say a few words if you want.
Your Honor, with your permission, I'd like to reserve my time for
you. You have 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you. You could keep it in the same parameters we talked about, the two different areas. One is 3105E and its applicability, and then the discussion on the exam that we had.
Okay. Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. The procedural provisions of Section 3.105E are not for application here because the September 2002 rating at issue was an initially assigned stage rating and was not a rating reduction. Prior to that rating in September 2002, service connection was not yet in effect for a prostate disability. Any action that the VA took at that time with respect to a prostate disability could not have revised a decision affecting a running award or resulted in a reduction of payments currently being made. Without an effect on a running award or a reduction in payments currently being made, the procedural protections of 3.105E were never triggered. The note to 7528 requires that there be a change in evaluation before any rating under that code becomes subject to 3.105E. Now, the Secretary interprets change in evaluation to necessarily be a prospective rating reduction as found in Section 3.105E. As the Federal Circuit noted in Reisenstein, the Secretary's interpretation is entitled to deference even if it's presented for the first time in litigation. The question is whether there is any reason to suspect that the Secretary's interpretation is not based on a fair and considered judgment on the matter in question. Here with Diagnostic Code 7528, there's nothing in the regulatory history to suggest that the Secretary intended to remove this diagnostic code from the stage rating practice. The regulatory history discusses this change in evaluation in the same sentence as referring to a 3.105E rating reduction. Therefore, it's reasonable interpretation, Your Honor, is that what the drafters contemplated was a prospective rating reduction. Additionally, the Secretary's interpretation of the note to 7528 is the only interpretation that avoids an inconsistency that does not need to exist. That's because the note itself does not specifically require an adjudicator to apply the procedures in Section 3.105E in a stage rating context. It just says a change in evaluation shall be subject to 3.105E. But 3.105E on its face is specifically forward-looking because it refers to changes in payments currently being made. To avoid an inconsistency, the interpretation of the note to 7528 would be that the change in evaluation necessarily contemplates a prospective rating reduction.
Okay, if I can just slow you down, because you're talking really fast, and my brain isn't working that fast. What you're saying is that in Diagnostic Code 7528, where it says any change in evaluation based upon that or any subsequent examination shall be subject to the provisions of 3.105E of this chapter. Correct. You're keying on change in evaluation meaning something that means 3.105 doesn't apply?
No, meaning that a change in evaluation would necessarily be a rating reduction as contemplated by 3.105E. That is, it's not referring to a retrospective change, if you will, in an initial stage rating context.
So let's go to a hypothetical and say that Mr. Tatum had filed for service connection on the day he got his diagnoses and VA processed an award and granted him benefits for prostate cancer while he was still receiving active treatment. And how would this regulation then apply in his context? Let's say it's 1991-ish at this moment or whatever the date of his last exam. I mean, I'm sorry, 2002. How would this forward-looking change in evaluation work for you then?
Well, Your Honor, if the claim was processed and he became in receipt of compensation within that six-month period, then any changes would be prospective because he's currently in receipt of the 100% rating. And in that situation, Your Honor, the adjudicator would be required to get into medical examination, and if a change of the current 100% rating was warranted based on that examination, then the 3.105E notice would be triggered in that situation.
I'm not sure I follow you that a change is prospective because it's a change from some level that he was at and then the staged rating played in and gave him a lesser rating. Granted, it was all done at the same time, but it was nonetheless a change. So can you give me an explanation as to why a change is necessarily a prospective change?
Well, it's simply because it avoids an inconsistency between the two regulations that does not need to exist. Otherwise, the language of 3.105E would be meaningless because it necessarily requires payments currently being made.
Well, that's sort of my getting to the next question is, why doesn't the payments currently being made in and of itself limit the applicability of 3.105E rather than having to discern some sort of interpretation of a change in evaluation?
Well, either interpretation would produce the same result, and that is in a situation, in an initial stage rating context, there would be no purpose, or the language of 3.105E itself would not require the VA to provide this notice. So
so the court could not adopt your theory with regard to the interpretation of change in evaluation and still find that 3.105E does not require notice in this circumstance.
That's correct. It's just that is an explanation as to what the change means, what they were referring to, and whether the drafters intended the 3.105E would be applied in a situation where on its face it does not apply. And additionally, I'd like to respond to some of the arguments raised in appellant's reply brief and here today was that there are approximately 25 diagnostic codes with substantially similar language. And he argues that the intent of the secretary was to remove these from the stage rating practice. However, regulatory history for those diagnostic codes just does not bear that out. And in fact, this issue was raised several times before the secretary as to what would happen if a claim was received months or years after treatment had ceased, and whether that, whether it would be inconsistent to require the application of 3.105E and at the same time grant an initial 100% rating. And in those instances, the Secretary said that, well, 3.105E only applies to changes in payments currently being made.
And where was this said, in the comments, or?
This was in responses to various comments made, yes, because the language in 7528 was first inserted, this note was inserted in 1994, and over the next decade approximately, various diagnostic codes were added, or this language was added to a number of diagnostic codes. And over that period, the issue that was presented here today was raised in one form or another on several occasions. And the Secretary each time stated that in the situation where you have this retrospective application, 3.105E on its face would not apply. So,
do you point to any of these comments or responses in your brief?
No, this is just in response to the arguments raised today and in the reply brief. So to the extent that the appellant argues that the Secretary intended, that is, there's no evidence to show that that was an intention on the Secretary. Additionally, the Secretary's position is, in this context, 3.105E and Diagnostic Code 7528 is consistent with the interpretations he has taken with respect to other rating reduction regulations, such as 3.343 and 3.344.
Counsel,
yes.
Does the Secretary's position, the current interpretation of DC 7528, is that consistent with the regulatory history? And I assume your answer is going to be yes.
To this diagnostic code, yes.
Yes.
Yes, and that is because the drafter, the regulatory history for this particular diagnostic code referred to rating reduction and 3.105E, and there's nothing to suggest that what they had in mind was something other than
a
prospective rating reduction.
Right. And what would be the impact if this language were applied to initial rating decisions that had contained stage ratings, if 3.105E, the requirements
of 3.105E? 5E, Your Honor, would be required to be applied, and that is the actual notice would be applied. It would certainly call into question this court's decision in O'Connell, and it would require the application of 3.105E in a situation where it was not intended to apply. Because as this court noted in O'Connell, the purpose of 3.105E is to permit a veteran currently in receipt of compensation to adjust to the diminished expectation of a reduced rating and to present evidence showing that that rating should not be made. Additionally, the statute giving that the VA, under which the VA implemented 3.105E, which is 5112B6, had the same intention as this court noted in O'Connell. So it would not serve the purpose of either the regulation or the relevant statute to apply 3.105E in this situation. And additionally, regarding the VA examination, here the treatment, the appellant was diagnosed with prostate cancer on October 4th of 2001, following a biopsy taken the day earlier. The treatment was done on October 19th of that month, and then it appears from the VA rating decision that that the regional office found as a factual matter that October 19th, 2001 was the date the treatment ceased. And that date corresponds with the May 1st, 2001 expiration of the initial six-month period where the 0% and then later 10% kicked in. And so the effective date was ultimately granted October 3rd of 2001. So the appellant here got the full 6 months of compensation, and then from October or May 1st on is where the 10% rating was in.
Did the board ever make a specific finding as to what the date of cessation of treatment was?
No, the board did not address the cessation issue. The board adjudicated the issue purely on residuals of the the rating, the current 10% rating, and whether that justified a rating in excess, whether the current medical evidence justified a rating in excess of 10% based on the residuals.
Should the board have made that determination?
No, not because there was no evidence that the 3.1, there was no evidence of malignancy under 7528 in this case. It was from that point on, it was, after the September rating decision, it was purely residuals that were at issue.
Wait a minute. I thought the claimant was seeking higher benefits right after that rating decision.
Yes,
in fact, there's a Q rating from the regional office that went back and dated it to the surgery because the first rating didn't. And I thought the appellant continued to appeal this.
Yes,
and someone in VA said, well, you're not really appealing the six-month period or the examination. You're only appealing the residuals? He didn't do that, did he?
He was contesting the award.
All of it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, but
yes.
Somebody in VA said, well, you're not really contesting the first 6 months up to the exam. You're really only contesting the residuals. That's apparently what happened because the board, you're right, the board decision only focuses on the residuals. So we have a situation where was the exam after a six-month period? We have a situation of does the exam support limiting it only to 6 months? I mean, clear he's okay on the, if you accept the findings here, he's okay with regard to in August. But what about between the, assuming the operation is October and assuming the 6 months is in May, what about between May and August? Is there any finding by the board with regard to that?
No. But
do you think that the appellant, the claimant in some way waived those issues?
The issue in this case, it is raised in the brief, was whether the September 2002 rating decision was an unlawful rating reduction. It's the secretary is not under the impression that there was a dispute with the facts of whether...
Well, let's go to what we were just talking about, which is this board decision, which I think the appellant has fairly raised that the rating, the 100% rating should have continued. I think their position is should have continued up until today and beyond. And there's been discussion as whether it should have continued to the date of exam. And there's discussion as to whether it should have continued only to 6 months and whether the evidence and the date of the exam supported that. That's the discussions here. So this board decision seems to focus only on, as you pointed out, the disabling, the residuals. Did the appellant at any time waive the arguments or his right, as he saw it, to a higher rating until an exam was given that substantiated a reduction from 100%? Is that waived anywhere?
No, Your Honor.
All right. But so should the board have addressed it?
No, because the examination...
All right, why should they have not have addressed it?
The examination of October 2002 did not justify a continuation of the 100% rating.
Well, how about the examination in August of 2002? Did it justify a reduction?
Sorry, that's what I meant, August 2002.
Yeah, no, you said October.
Oh, I meant
that's fine. August, there was another one later
August
on.
First,
I may be off in
yeah,
October
the
or
August
December.
The August 1st VA medical examination of 2002 did not justify a continuation of the 100% rating beyond May 1st. At that time, the appellant had...
Says who?
Well, the examination, the evidence itself...
Says who? You? Where did the board do that?
The board did not address the issue, no.
Okay. And did the appellant or claimant waive that issue?
No.
All right.
So that brings me back to my question. Should the board have addressed it?
No, Your Honor, because the examination at that time in August, the appellant had reported that... his doctor said his PSA levels were good as of May 1st of 2002. There was no reason to suspect that his treatment had not ceased as of the initial surgery and to extend beyond a May 1st 2002 date. And it's the secretary's position is that is not the dispute in this case. It's whether there was an unlawful rating reduction in September 2002.
Let's put aside the issue of whether 3.105E notice has to be given or not. Looking at the rest of the requirements in the diagnostic code and looking at the notice and comment put out by the Secretary in 1994 when the regulation was changed, it seems to say that 6 months is not the magic date at which you terminate benefits. You have to give an exam, and then you make a decision. So in this case, was the rest of the requirements of the regulation excluding 3.105E complied with?
Yes, because there was an examination that was provided after 6 months that of the radical prostatectomy, and it was on that examination that the evaluation was based.
And so you're picking up on the argument that Judge Castle raised, that the date can be earlier than the date of the examination?
That's the Secretary's position as to how this note reads, is that the 100% rating does not have to extend until the examination. It's just the rating must be based on that examination. Yes, Your Honor.
So if this were a circumstance where it was a running award and that Mr. Tatum had already been service-connected for his cancer, and then the question now was the convalescent period, and he was given 3.105E notice, he would have had the opportunity to come forward and say, no, between May and August, I actually had received other treatment. Is that sort of how you imagine that it would work?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Was the issue of whether or not the exam came after a six-month period and supported a ending of the 100% disability rating in May, was that not recently raised by the record? Why was it not addressed?
It appears that it was not addressed because the evidence of the case supported the finding that as after the six-month period, when the 10% rating went into effect May 1st, that was the disputed fact.
So the board doesn't have to address things that are obvious to them?
Well, that's the question I'm asking. The appellant didn't raise it, but the appellant I guess he was represented by DAV at the board, but prior to the board, I'm not sure who was represented by. But if it's reasonably raised by the record, the secretary also has to raise it.
Right.
Duty to assist. So was it reasonably raised by this record, or are you suggesting that the record only reasonably raised the residual issue?
No, it was reasonably raised. However, the secretary is not under the impression that was the dispute briefed by the parties. The dispute, as the secretary understands it, is whether this was an unlawful.
Okay, so the parties are addressing the residuals. Down below, at the board and below, was the issue of the 100% rating terminating in May or being reduced to 10% in May based on the exam in August, was that reasonably raised by this record as an issue?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. A couple of comments first in response to the Secretary's argument. First of all, he indicated that this notice language, was added to the diagnostic code in 1994. I don't think that's correct. The 1994 revisions reduced the automatic 100% from 1 year down to 6 months. I have tried to trace back to where it first appears in the code, and as far back as I think 1964, which was the limit of what I had access to, it was that language was in the code.
The 3105?
Yes.
Thank you.
Also, this issue about there being no current award, I think it's important to look at the Secretary's comments in the Federal Register that the rule requires exam, not reduction, 6 months after the assignment of total benefits. I think the language in the D.C. and also the Federal Register with the Secretary's interpretation is clear that there has to be an assignment of total benefits before the reduction can be made, and that the notion that the Secretary can evade application by making both of those ratings, the original rating and the reduction within the same rating decision, is just contrary to what the Secretary's own comments indicate that he intended. So in our view, Mr. Tatum's case, he should have been rated at 100%.
Assuming that applies, how is your client prejudiced?
He's prejudiced because, again, he did not have an opportunity to come forward.
How did he not? He had an entire appeal period. He had a rating decision. He had a Q rating decision. He had a statement of the case which specifically put this provision in there. So how is he not?
Because within that process, Your Honor, the burden was shifted to him to show that he was entitled to a higher rating.
Well, how was it shifted to him? VA gave him an exam.
That exam was given at the improper time. Certainly had it been given later. The continuation.
But your argument it was given at the improper time, you haven't pointed to anything in the record that shows it was given at the improper time. We just went through that before.
Well, the Secretary has the burden of showing that he complied.
Okay, he didn't. Let's assume he didn't. He didn't comply. Where's your prejudice?
The prejudice is that, number one, as a matter of law, that is the procedure that the Secretary
Well, as a matter of law, I don't know how much we're looking at prejudice in the past, but we're certainly looking at prejudice today. And the question is, after you get a statement of the case that specifically puts this provision in there, and you're appealing and saying you want more, what's the prejudice? I'm just trying to figure out, what's the prejudice? Is there some exam your client has been received that shows that he was still 100% disabled, that he was suffering from the criteria as required in that diagnostic code? I mean, you haven't pointed to anything in the record.
Well, once again, though, by not complying, the VA is shifting the burden.
All right, so we go back, we get another exam today. The exam reviews the entire record, goes back and says, as of May, he didn't have any of these other problems, and he gets it as of May. What is it that the examiner would look at that would change the results here?
Well, that exam cannot even occur until that first six-month period.
Whenever it occurs, I think you agreed that the rating, the change, can be based on the results of the examination. So if the results
six months out. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I'm with you. I'm following you. I'm just trying to understand what the prejudice is. At 6 months out, he can get an exam.
He's entitled
he
to
gets
exam.
It 10 years out. The exam reviews the entire record, and based on the evidence, not clearly erroneous, the determination is it should have ended at 6 months. What's the problem? Where's your prejudice? What do you have in this record that would say it shouldn't have ended in May?
Well, he doesn't. That's not his burden to show that it should not have ended in May. It is the VA's burden, as the diagnostic code is written.
Well, your burden up here is to demonstrate prejudice.
Well,
and that is your burden. So where's the prejudice?
Well, number one, he received the 100% rating for only 2 months.
And what do you base it on?
Are you referring again to the CUE issue?
No, I'm referring to that as I looked at this record, he received it from somewhere in December to May.
No, he did not, Your Honor.
Well, then show me in the record where he didn't.
This may require supplemental record, Your Honor. The December, there was a modification at some point early on that suggested he was entitled to the rating back to December. And that itself was later corrected because he hadn't filed his claim in December. So at some point, VA, before that was paid, VA recognized that it had made an error in correcting
it. Okay, so he got it from the date of his claim.
He got it from the date of his claim.
Forward.
Yes.
Okay.
For 2 months.
So how long would he get? How would he get it anymore? You can't get any earlier than the date of your claim.
Correct.
So the time period that he would get it would be 6 months from the date from the surgery on out. If assuming there's nothing in between, 6 months from the surgery on out. If he doesn't file his claim until February, the compensation would come from February on out.
Well, the prejudice is that as of this, by the process that was employed, he did not have the opportunity to come forward prior to the reduction and show that he that there was additional evidence.
Okay, but this record,
treatment, we don't know. We just don't know.
You did review the claims file.
I did.
You did prepare the record.
I did.
Is there anything in there?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No. Your Honor, if I may just take a moment here to review some of the things I thought I'd be talking about. The Secretary's...
You never know what questions you're going to get, huh?
I don't have experience with that. The Secretary's litigation position, in our view, is not entitled to any deference. There are three reasons for that. There is no ambiguity in DC 7528. The 100% shall continue. The language says it is a mandatory exam at the expiration of 6 months, and any change in evaluation shall be subject to 3.105E. Mandatory, compulsory, the language is plain. Under the Chevron step one, that analysis stops. Additionally, the position the Secretary is taking today contradicts the very clear position that the Secretary has explained in the comments to the Federal Register, which support Mr. Tatum's case right down the line, his position right down the line. Finally, there are several canons of construction that interfere with adoption of the Secretary's position, one being that a specific regulatory provision takes precedence over a general, and that is assuming that, you know, for the sake of that canon, let's assume that a state trading practice carries the same weight as a regulation that has been promulgated pursuant to the APA. Even assuming so, the specific provision of the DC 7528 under the canons of construction takes precedence over the general provision, absent a clear intention of the contrary. There is no clear intention of the contrary. The flip side of that is the canon that says that absent clear intent otherwise, the specific reg will not be nullified by the more general one. If we adopt the Secretary's or the General Counsel's argument in his briefs, DC 7528 will be essentially nullified.
Counsel, let me ask a question, and maybe I'm missing something, but is there a place in your analysis for initial decisions that contain stage ratings without the application of 3.105, or would every stage rating decision require the application of 3.105?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking me, Your Honor. Are you saying, Ken, if this language were removed from DC 7528, do I think it could, a staged rating could be implemented?
No, not if it were removed. I mean, keep the language there. I just am curious. I'm trying to follow your analysis to a logical point. And my conclusion is that you would have to apply 3.105E to every stage rating, certainly in an initial decision, rating decision. Is that correct, or am I missing something?
Well, in an initial decision, I think that is the holding of O'Connell, and that in the initial decision, and we're assuming that it's gone on for some time, the litigation or the adjudicatory process has continued over a period of time, there have been fluctuations. 3.105E does not apply, and the Secretary may, therefore, because it does not apply, may implement the staged rating, which necessarily is going to result in some ups and downs in the rating. In convalescent cases such
all right,
as...
time is up, but would you like me to add more?
To let her finish.
All right, we'll add a minute.
In convalescent cases where the Secretary has specifically included 3.105E as part of the process for that initial rating only, I don't think you can do a staged rating because the way 3.105E itself operates prospectively.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. The case will be submitted. The court will come down and recounsel.
All rise.